Koinonia, Christian fellowship, communion with God and with fellow Christians. Koinonia, an association of people who share common beliefs and activities. This is Koinonia. This is community. And now, your host, Tom Brown.
Welcome on this beautiful Monday morning. Welcome to Koinonia on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. I'm Christian marriage counselor Travis Fry, filling in today for Tom Brown. And today I'm here with a very special co-host who happens to be my wife. I'm joined by Carrie Fry. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, babe. I'm glad to be here.
So I was thinking maybe you could share a little bit about yourself and kind of who you are.
Well, I'm your wife. I'm a mother of three. I have three beautiful kids, Jaden, Gavin, and Addie. Love them. And I homeschool them, so lots of fun.
Yes, we are a homeschool family.
Yeah. And I grew up in Phoenix, grew up here, went to Biola Universities where I met Travis.
Right.
I did a little bit of seminary study at Fuller in Pasadena, and then we had our first son, came back here to Phoenix, and we've been here ever since. We live up in Anthem area.
Yeah, and that was probably like in 2001. So that's a little bit about Carrie. Like I said, I'm a Christian marriage counselor, and in a few moments, Carrie and I are going to share our story with you, some of the struggles and successes that we've had, and how we have learned to create an emotionally connected marriage. But first, I wanted to share a common story that as the owner, founder, and clinical director of Crossroads Family Counseling Center, I encounter nearly every day. You know, over the past 10 years or so, I have counseled hundreds of couples. And the story for many of these couples is often the same. It starts with two people, just like Carrie and me, who meet one another and they get to know each other and eventually they fall in love. They spend more time with one another. And a bond is formed, and they get to that point where they start moving towards marriage and talking about making that lifelong commitment. They exchange vows, they say, I do, and as the fairy tales tell us, it's happily ever after that, right?
Yeah, right. It's not always that easy, is it?
Not always that easy, right? And for many couples, even couples who sincerely love each other, there's going to be challenges. We know that, right? Couples may argue and fight more than they used to. They may feel more distant and disconnected. You know, maybe there was a traceable event that they can point back to and say, this was the time that our relationship started to struggle. Or maybe it just slowly happened over time. Regardless, what we know is that, you know, emotions like anger and loneliness and fear begin to replace those feelings of love and closeness, safety, and security. We know that when couples... You know, when couples come to see me, and I've talked to you, talked about this with you, Carrie, but yeah. A lot of times when couples come to see me, a lot of times they come in with these issues like finances and parenting, or my personal favorite, you know, we have like a communication issue. And these issues are important, but oftentimes they're not the real reason why the couple is having difficulties and challenges. The real reason is that the couple is stuck in a negative cycle. You know, disconnection has taken place. The couple's lost their sense of safety, security, love, and trust in one another. Fear and loneliness have taken root. You know, when the couple doesn't feel safe and connected, they get stuck. And so when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about these types of cycles and patterns, and we're going to talk about how you can have an emotionally connected marriage. Welcome back to Koinonia Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. I'm Christian marriage counselor Travis Fry, filling in today for Tom Brown. I'm here with my co-host and wife, Carrie. Carrie?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm glad you're here. And we're here talking about our love story and how we have been able to strengthen the emotional connection in our marriage. Today, we're sharing our story with you in the hopes that will help you in your marriage to have a deeper emotional bond. By the way, if you have any calls for us, you can join the conversation or ask a question just by calling us here at the studio, 602-274-1360. That's 602-274-1360. So in that opening segment, I talked about a common story that I hear every day from the couples that I work with. What I want to share with you right now, just briefly, is how I became the founder, owner, and clinical director of Crossroads Family Counseling Center. My journey started back when I was a student at Biola, and Carrie mentioned that's where we met.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a senior at Biola, I was going through some changes and some challenges, and it was then that I was exposed to counseling and had someone that worked with me on a personal basis and just really helped me to overcome some of the issues that I was dealing with at that time. And I thought to myself, wow, this is really cool. I mean, you get to walk the journey with someone and you get to be with them, you get to help them. And this is something that I really feel like God is calling me to do as well. And that's why I founded Crossroads Family Counseling Center back in 2006. And our mission now and then has always been to bring the hope and healing through the power, love, and truth of Jesus Christ. Now, for me personally, the way that I found that I can best do that is by working with couples and by working with families. My passion has always been to help others have a deeper emotional connection with one another. Now, I mentioned that my journey as a Christian marriage counselor started while I was a student at Biola. Well, it was also at this time that my journey as a husband and a father started. This was when I met my wife, Carrie, and I thought maybe we could share our story, maybe how we, you know, some of our successes and struggles, how we've had been on this journey of creating a deeper emotional connection with one another.
Yeah.
But maybe we can start with how we met, or maybe even the first time that you remember seeing me.
Of course, I love talking about that. The first time I ever saw Travis, I had just transferred from ASU to Biola University. And at Biola, people are just a little more free-spirited than at ASU. And you would, you know, this is a Christian university. You might think it was the other way around, but it's not. They have a lot of fun there at Biola. And so when I got there, I was with my girlfriend. We were walking to a class. And in between our dorm and the classrooms was the men's dorm. And so my friend and I were walking by the men's dorm, and out of one of the doors at Stuart Hall walks this really tall guy with a big fluffy dress on. And
yes.
I was just blown away and shocked. He looked awful. He was a horribly ugly woman. And
I'm a good looking man, but not
you
a beautiful
are.
Woman.
You're a very handsome man.
Oh, thank
but
you.
But he's just a horribly look. Yeah. Very ugly woman. And the two of us just looked at him and we just started laughing. And he saw us two girls walking by laughing at him. And I think he just got so embarrassed. He turned around and he went back into the room, closed the door. And I didn't know at the time that that was the man I was going to marry. But it ended up that I did.
Right. Right, that was the one that God had picked for you, babe.
Yeah, I know.
The one in a dress. So, yeah, I don't remember seeing you guys, but I probably did run away because, you know, that was a pretty embarrassing experience. So let me explain, because I feel the need to explain.
Yes,
so
do
people
need
don't
to.
Think I normally go around wearing dresses. and by the way, I was a college student. I was pretty young, and we all do things in college that I think we all regret, right? At least I can say that for myself. So anyway, this was one of those experiences. But I had lost a bet, and the consequence for losing the bet was I had to don the dress. And so I think I wore it for maybe a day or two. And yeah.
I hope it was just one day.
Yeah, I don't remember. But so that was the first time that you saw me. I remember the first time that I saw you. I think I was sitting in the cafeteria having lunch with my guys, and out of the corner of my eye, I noticed this really beautiful, attractive young lady, and I was like, "Wow, like she's gorgeous. I need to get to know her."
Go on.
What's that?
I said, go on."
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I was like, "So I need to get to know her," and I figured out that we had some mutual friends that you know, friends of mine that were also friends of yours, and so I had arranged with them. Or I had talked to them to set up a time where I could meet you, right? And I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah,
time.
I do. It was a couple friends of mine, Tom and Eric, and they had been going dancing with some friends of mine. I was really into swing dancing in college. I loved it. It was so much fun. I loved the music. And we would go out and have such great times dancing all night long. And when Travis told Tom or Eric that he wanted to meet me, Eric made up this fake swing dance lesson saying that the men in Stuart Hall wanted to all learn how to swing dance. So, of course, I go over there. I thought, oh, that's fun. I taught swing dancing a few times at churches here in Phoenix before I moved. And so I went to teach this dance, and I got there, and the only people there were Tom and Eric, and they had their stereo, and no one else in Stuart Dorm wanted to know how to swing dance, including Travis, in fact. And he was lurking in the balcony above, saw that
checking
I came
out the
down.
Scene.
Yeah, saw that I came, and he came down, introduced himself, and I think he maybe danced for 30 seconds and then left because he really didn't want to learn to dance.
Well, it wasn't that I didn't want to learn to dance. Dancing is not my strong suit.
No.
Still is not my strong suit. I mean, you've been working on me for, 13 years? And
yes.
I still can't dance a
no.
lick. It was the whole thing was just to get to know you. So, that was our first kind of official introduction to one another. Little did you know, the guy that you were being introduced to that night was the same guy that was in the dress. So I don't know if you made that connection.
I didn't know right. that until quite a while later.
Right. That may have been a deal breaker for you right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
right?
It may have.
Okay. But it took a little bit more time, and eventually I asked you out on our very first date, which happened to be Valentine's Day. It was great. We went out with some friends and went to an Italian restaurant,
mm-hmm.
had some pizza. We even did some dancing again, tried to impress you. And then I popped the big question on our very first date, and I asked you to marry me.
Yes, it wasn't real. It was a joke, but we were in the car, and it was Valentine's Day, so of course there's lots of ads for wedding rings, and he saw a big billboard on the side of the road that had a giant wedding ring, and it said, "Will you marry me?" on it. And so he looked at me at that time on our first date and read that billboard out loud and pointed to it and thought it was really funny.
Either incredibly brave or incredibly stupid. I'm not sure which one.
Both.
Okay.
And, of course, I thought, man, this guy has guts to be able to say something like that to a girl he hardly knows. But it was funny in a way, and I told him that I would let him know my answer in the future.
Right. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Konania on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. And I'm Travis Fry here with my wife, Carrie Fry. And we're filling in today for Tom Brown. And we are sharing our story with you on how you can create an emotionally connected marriage. So we were just talking about that very first date, and thankfully asking you to go on a date with me the very first time didn't scare you away, because we had many more dates.
Yes.
And eventually, I think we became inseparable. There was our connection grew, our bond deepened, and there was a real love between the two of us. And as we started to move closer towards marriage and talking about marriage and taking that next step in our relationship, what happened on my side is some of my deep-rooted fears and insecurities began to come to the surface. And to a large degree, I was not even aware of these fears and insecurities, but they were having an impact on me, and then in turn having an impact on the two of us and our relationship. And not having a way of being able to identify what I was feeling inside, and then to take that next step and to talk about that and express it and to share it with you so that we could deal with it together, I kept those fears and I kept those insecurities inside. And it was like a part of me became unavailable to you. And there was a little distance that took place on my side.
That's right. And when I saw him pulling away a bit and having more distance, it brought up doubts about whether he really loved me. If he was having doubts about me personally, as that he wanted to marry me. And that just blew my whole world away. I grew up, like most little girls, watching Disney movies and seeing princesses, and there's no princess movie, so far at least that I know of, that the prince goes and finds his princess and then says, "Ooh, I'm not quite sure about her. Maybe I should check out and see if, you know, this is really right." They know right away, those princes.
It's the happily ever after that we're talking about.
Yeah, I wanted that happily ever after, and I really wanted him to be sure. So it led me to have doubts if whether I was sad that my expectations weren't fulfilled. And it made me have doubts whether or not I could depend on him, because I wanted him to do what I wanted him to do. And that, those were my expectations.
Right, right. And so, yeah, I want to make clear that it wasn't that I had doubts about you. The doubts were more about me. And those fears and those insecurities that I talked about were deep down rooted questions, because I didn't grow up with the best example. I didn't have a good example, role model as a father and a husband. And so questions like, am I going to be good enough? And will I be able to make you happy? And so, you know, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how we dealt with those fears and insecurities in our relationship.
Yeah, we worked it out.
We did.